Hello and welcome to the Indoorsman for this week, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I continue to be your first host to speak of the night, Matt.
And I've only just started speaking second, Cliff. That's not true at all. It's not true at all. I always go second. Except for that one time you made me go first.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
And yet we've only done it once.
No strong feelings one way or the other.
Well, Cliff, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. I didn't really do a lot today. Did play some games, though.
What?
I played a game that was old as hell that I remember that I had because of another game. I actually have Diablo 3. Did you know that? I own Diablo 3.
That seems like a hard one to just accidentally get, considering it's still being actively updated at this point.
Well, it's a game that I played. I got for free because I played World of Warcraft. And because I owned World of Warcraft, I got Diablo for free for reasons. What? Yeah, back when Diablo 3 was coming out, there was some promotion thing, and you got Diablo 3 if you were a certain subscriber of X number of years. I don't know, some sort of thing. But I got Diablo 3 for free, the base game anyway. I played it for a bit and then stopped. And then I had to install Battle.net or the Blizzard app. Well, Battle.net's back to Battle.net now, apparently.
It's Blizzard's Battle.net or Blizzard Battle.net or something now. They keep changing their minds.
Yeah, it'll always be Battle.net to people because that's what it was.
That's why the new name did not stick.
Exactly. Anyway, because I've been playing the Destiny 2 PC beta. And then I uninstalled that because it ended yesterday. And I remembered, I've got Diablo 3. And I just chucked it on to see if it was fun to play again after many years not playing it. And it was all right. I've never been a massive, fan of that kind of game.
Yeah, me neither.
Click to walk and then shoot stuff. I would rather control my character with WASD, but then also have my mouse to click on the enemies I want to shoot. That's an old-ass style of game. It's been around for a while. Certain people love it.
Everyone was always mad for Diablo 2. I never caught the bug. And no other game in the similar vein really ever hit me. The closest I probably came was Magicka, sort of the wizard game. And that was less because it was a great mechanical story or anything, but it was just fun to play with other people. I played with hopefully friend of the show, Casper, and mostly just found a really good way to blow him up and then did that for the rest of the time we were playing the game together.
I did play a lot of Neverwinter Nights, which is the same deal, effectively. I liked that. That was good. Plus, it also ran in Linux. So back in the day when I was a massive Linux nerd, that would actually run on it. So yay. Woo.
Nice. Mm. And spoilers, the key spell to both frustrate Casper but keep him playing was healing rocks that I would throw at him that would knock him down but also heal his damage.
Right.
He's like, stop helping. It's like, no, never. But that's not a game that I've been playing this week. What have you been playing this week, Cliff, besides Diablo 3?
Well, the aforementioned Destiny 2 PC beta.
Yes, how was that?
Boy, does it look pretty and run well on PC.
Nice.
Really, really well. Solid 60 frames a second, except for in a couple of weird spots in menus. But it seems to be when the menu's first loading up. When you do some mouse overs and some arrows, I got some frame drops. But it wasn't in the actual game itself. In the actual game itself, it was always 60. Sync to V-Sync. So I don't worry about anything more than 60 frames a second. You don't need anything more than 60. After 60, you don't need anything more. So there's no point.
Yeah.
Despite what nerds say.
I know exactly what you're talking about. All of those words made sense to me. I've been hearing good things about the Destiny beta, now with the PC and like 6 years ago for console players.
Mm-hmm.
I probably won't get into it still. Like I tried with Destiny 1, didn't stick. But I did see a live action trailer for the game that actually looked pretty cool.
I haven't watched that yet, but I've heard it's good.
It's got Cade 6 in it as voiced by Nathan Fillion. It's funny, which, you can't have content with Nathan Fillion in it without it being funny. So that's, saying ATM machine. But, that got me more interested in the game than the actual game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like Destiny 1. it seems, well, as soon as I started playing Destiny 1, it felt so natural as a first-person shooter. It was smooth. It was just nice. It actually, it worked. The shooting felt good. Exactly the same thing with Destiny 2. Why change it when it's not broken? It was good fun. I really liked it. The intro, because you got to do a story mission, just like the console beta. You had to do the very first story mission, and then you get to do a strike and two lots of PvP, two different modes of PvP. So the strike was good. People were saying it takes about 40 minutes to do each of the solo or co-op PvE stuff. That's not true. Mm-hmm. You can bust through in about 20 minutes each if you know what you're doing. But yeah, it was good fun. I really, really liked it. I'm looking forward to getting it. A whole bunch of people have already committed to getting it that I know. So hopefully I can actually raid this time, because the raids were the best part. But everyone back in Destiny 1 quit before the raids because they just thought, well, there's nothing else to the game. So, no.
That's right. It was really, really basic to begin with, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was nothing to the game at all. People were expecting like a massive Halo level of story mode, and that's not what it was. It was effectively a first-person shooter MMO. And people didn't know what that was, so they all just kind of quit before the raiding part, which is, the raiding part was, of course, the best bit. So, yeah. You know.
I mean, the problem for me with Destiny is, like, the design, fantastic. The shooting, it's Bungie, of course it's great. The sort of story, the narrative of the whole thing, love it. The moment multiplayer becomes the core competency of the game, though, I'm just like, nah, I don't care. Give me a single-player campaign through that game where I never have to talk to another person. Fantastic. But with raids and stuff being such a big part of it, nah, sorry.
Raids are awesome. If you play with a group of people you know and can trust to actually do things. But yeah, it is a major part of the game, is PvE.
Yeah, Co-op I play PvE. Games to avoid spending time with people, so... It's not working for me. But I'm glad that it's living up to snuff, especially on PC, given it's their first outing there. I mean, it's Bungie. They've done PC before, not a lot, but the Xbox is basically a PC at this point, so...
I mean, all consoles are PCs at this point.
The Xbox, especially in the way it's sort of infrastructure is laid out, though, I hear. Yeah. Cool.
PvP, though, before you move on, PvP sucks so hard. And the reason it sucks so hard is because... of two reasons. First of all, people that play the shit out of Destiny 1 already know exactly what you need to do to destroy people in Destiny 2. So they just two or three hit you and you die, and you can barely scratch them with whatever you're shooting at them with. Also, there is some weird aimbot stuff going on PC. On the console, you get aimbot. That's just is the thing, because it's harder to control Twitch movement with a stick than it is with a mouse. That's just everyone knows that. It's an accepted fact. So they put a bit of aimbot on it. So the PC version also has a bit of aimbot if you're using a controller on PC. But you can trick your PC into thinking you're using a controller, but you're actually using a mouse. So you get the Twitch movement with their last added bit of aimbot to absolutely destroy people with. And it's something that Bungie have come out and said they expected this kind of problem would happen. They know that this is going to be a thing, that they can't balance both controller and keyboard and mouse on PC. So that's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. It could just be a simple matter of, for PvP, they'll turn off aimbot, which is kind of fair enough. But that's going to piss off certain people that love playing with the controller. But if you're playing on PC... you know, if you want to play with controller, you can just put it on your console. So, but it's going to be a very tough one to balance out, because it will literally allow people to aimbot and cheat with a built-in feature. So that's going to be fun to see. That's what betas are for, I guess, is to quickly check that kind of thing out, see if it actually makes a difference. And yes, it does. I've seen some videos where if you slow it down to quarter speed, you can see someone move the crosshairs across someone, and then you see it in the last few frames drag back directly onto the person. You're like, oh yeah, that's bad. That's so bad.
Goodness. Well, I'm sure they'll find a way. Hopefully without punishing the people who need the aimbot to be competent with their controlling method of choice, but they'll figure it out, hopefully. Or good. Not. And
I look forward to it.
It'll all fail. Yeah.
I mean, I never played PvP in Destiny 1 because, if I want PvP, I'll just go play COD. But PvE is where it's at, so.
Well, I've been rotating between a couple of games. Are you surprised?
By a couple, do you mean 5 or 6?
Yes, but I'm only going to talk about 4 of them.
Only four. Gotcha.
I tend to spend a lot of time in this part of the episode, so I'm going to try and focus on the key points so we can move on to other topics that I will do a lot of talking about. The first one is one that sort of dropped and I completed this week because it's episodic content. The prequel for Life is Strange, Before the Storm. The first episode came out late this week, and I very much enjoyed it. Did you ever play Life is Strange?
Nope.
It was good. It had its problems. The lip sync for the voice acting was no good. It was very bad. Some of the dialogue was awkward. If anyone knows anything about the Life is Strange franchise, they know that the awkward use of the word hella is omnipresent throughout that entire series. We hella have to go. Or like, we hella beat that guy. That kind of stuff. Just, it's adults doing teen slang and kind of got lampooned from the first game. But it being episodic content, it improved over time. What started very awkwardly, because it was the first adventure game, rounded off into a very satisfying narrative at the end. So this is a prequel where the first game focused on Max Caulfield returning to Arcadia Bay to hang out with a friend, Chloe Price, as voiced by Ashley Birch. Tiny Tina from Borderlands, and a lot of other voices these days in voice acting. So this prequel sort of focuses on Chloe before Max comes back, when she's sort of meeting her best friend, Rachel Amber, who's missing throughout all of the main game. So you're sort of getting the backstory of their friendship, how they met, all this kind of stuff. Without the gimmick of time travel, which was Life is Strange's big thing, Max could rewind time, sort of alter her decisions, which was, for an adventure game, very cool. You could sort of make a pivotal decision, see how it played out, then reverse time, try the other one before you decided which way to go.
Right, okay.
They sort of played up the time travel as time went on. It's sort of variations to keep the gameplay interesting. So there's none of that this time. Chloe, being kind of a badass, just gets back talk. She's sort of an angsty teen, so she can just argue with people. And it's kind of presented as this cool like little skill check game, where you'll have sort of an indicator along the bottom of the screen, sort of, you know, maybe 4 progression slots for you, 2 for the person you're opposing. So you have to listen to what they say and kind of, like, burn them based on what they say.
Right, okay.
So, you know, like, the first one where it gets introduced is you're trying to get into a rock show and you've got to sort of, like, talk down the bouncer to let you through because you are clearly underage. And he's like, this is no place for kids. You can be like, what is this, like, oh, why is it too late for you, grandpa, or something like that. So it's fun just kind of being a bitch because she was kind of an asshole through the first
this deck. Sounds like the Monkey Island minigame where you have to sword fight everyone
a little bit, like, yeah. Insult sword fighting, yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And the original game, like, it was kind of left up in the air whether Chloe and Rachel were best friends or girlfriends. It's kind of left open to interpretation. So this time, when you're establishing their relationship, you get to choose. So basically every dialogue with Rachel is kind of a dichotomy between, you know, like, sassy friends and let's scissor, basically.
Right, right.
So you can sort of flirt hardcore with her, which, of course, that's going to be the most interesting route to do. So I went with those options. But that's a hell of a divide to have to maintain through 3 episodes of an episodic narrative where they could be girlfriendy or just best friendy. But yeah, it seems like it's going to be interesting, and the animation is way better. You know, adventure games, they're always kind of awkward. Like, if you've played a Telltale game, you know exactly what this is. The awkward walk shuffle. So they have lots of incidental things, like at one point she's going through her mum's room to find her phone, and you open her drawer and see, like, used condom packets, and she's just like, ugh, mum, and just, like, kicks the drawer closed and kind of, like, shakes, like, blah, which is a lot of extra kind of character for an adventure game. So yeah, if this is kind of what they're doing for a three-part prequel before they do an actual sequel to the original narrative, I'm keen, because it feels the same but improved, which is exactly what I want from like an interstitial game like this. But yeah, Life is Strange, super gay, super good, play it. There's actually a couple games that we were sent for review over the last couple of weeks. One that I played and one that we both played. So I'll start with my solo adventure, then we can kind of debate the second one, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
The publishers were kind enough to send a copy of Masquerada Song and Shadow, which I touched on last week a little bit, but I've spent a bit more time with it now. It's kind of in the vein of Diablo, I guess. Kind of the isometric, top-down, clicky game, except based on a console in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So you're wandering around fighting people. There's magic based on these masks that everyone wears, which is kind of an interesting story-setting thing. They have this problem where there's a war going on, and if someone sort of bonded with one of these magic masks, then they die while they're wearing it, then the mask just dissolves with them. So,
okay, right.
Because of war, they're sort of losing their supply of mascarines, as they call them. So it's kind of a dwindling resource, and everyone's fighting over them. There's a huge voice cast in this game. Like, as I mentioned last week, all the big names, Matt Mercer, Femme Shep is in there.
That's her legal name. First name Femme, second name Shep.
Yes, it's her name these days.
Yep.
So I'm trying to think. Josh Welchel's in there doing the soundtrack. It's a huge cast. I had a bit of trouble enjoying the game. Like, the setting, great. The gameplay, like I've said, it's not my favorite, but it's totally serviceable. But it's a very wordy game. It's got a very deep lore, and it loves its own terminology, which has been a problem for games in the past with me as well. Final Fantasy XIII is an example where they got far too into their language. Everything's got its own special name. It's all kind of Italian-themed, which is interesting. But, like, you have to read the glossaries to understand what the fuck is going on.
Boo.
It gives... Yeah. Like, I need to be able to get at least a glancing understanding just from the game. Like, after every sort of dialogue, I shouldn't have to go in and read the glossaries to continue understanding what's happening.
Those things exist for... If you're really into it and you want to get further understanding, it's there. But you shouldn't have to read them in order to progress the game and understand what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are understandable. Like, the main character you start with, he's known as an Inquisitore. So, I mean, you can pretty much figure that one out. But then there's just, there's layers. And it seems to be a PC game that's moved to console. And one of the problems I find with that is the controls usually aren't a problem. It's kind of on-screen resolution that becomes a problem. You're sitting in front of your computer as we are right now. You're maybe 2 feet from your screen at worst. So everything can be small. You can crunch a lot of information on screen because you're going
to
see it.
I want everything tiny on my computers. I want to be able to cram as much information on there as possible.
Exactly. But when that same scale is maintained on a 55-inch TV that I'm sitting 4 to 5 meters away from, I can't read shit. Like, I'm lucky that the PlayStation has a way to zoom in and out of the screen, because otherwise I would miss almost everything, or I'd have to sit on the floor in front of the TV just to know what's going on.
Yep. Old school, like when you're 5.
Yeah.
Do it.
Which I'm not against. I'm not against.
Put your hand up when you want to speak.
I do get sore because I am a grown-ass man. It's a bit wordy for me. Ironically, it's the same reason I was both excited for and disappointed by Pillars of Eternity. I backed that game years ago when it came out on Kickstarter. It's very fun. Again, great mechanics, great setting, great art. But there's just so much dialogue and so much reading, and the lore they've developed is fantastic. But I just can't... I don't have the endurance to deal with it. Which is why I also backed the sequel.
But you're a Kickstarter whore. You just back everything.
It's true. So, if you're into that kind of game, if you love lore, if you love Diablo and sort of any derivative of it, check it out. If you like recognizable voices, check it out. If you're like me and need to understand what's going on straight away and don't have the energy or stamina to delve deep into the lore for a game that you're not already familiar with, it's a bit of a dicey one. But there's nothing wrong with the game. It's just not the right fit for me. So there you have it. Masquerada Song and Shadow. Decent. I am not the target audience. It's coming to Switch at the end of the year, though, so check it out. There's not enough RPGs on there yet. But the second game that came out for review is one that we were both able to get a copy for.
Yes, and we both have played.
Yes. Lead us in, Cliff. Set the scene.
It is called Absolver?
It doesn't have a question mark on the end.
It doesn't, no. That's because in my mind, I can't remember. There's lots of words there that my mind goes to, but not Absolver. But it is Absolver, isn't it?
Yes.
Right, cool. It's Absolver.
Even if every time I see that title, I read it as Absolver, as though they've suddenly found an answer to abs.
It's a brand new product that will fix your abs for you.
The Absolver Pro, available from Danos Direct.
In just 3 minutes a day. You can have abs like this person who doesn't use it.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, it's called Absolver. Absolver. It's kind of a weird game, and then there's not much to it. You're not really, there's no like massive epic backstory. It's kind of the opposite of Masquerade, apparently.
Pretty much.
The only real story you get is that you want to be an Absolver and you have to fight for it. And here's how to fight. That is basically the story of the game. And it's go here, you need to defeat these people in order to, you know, get, I guess, your credentials up to be accepted into the ranks of the Absolvers. And off you go, run around a very, very nice looking, very stylized, very cool art style and do it. The art part of it is very, very good. I was a big fan of that.
Yeah, it's kind of this minimalist... I don't really know how to put it. It's sort of very block color, simplistic shapes, kind of angular as well. It's like if you took a PS1 era fighting game like Air Gaze, which was a game that had Final Fantasy VII fighters in it, which was the only reason I ever bought it.
That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. Pronunciation.
I only ever read it. I'd never heard anyone actually pronounce it out loud, because that title is a bullshit title, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's German or something, because it was a reskin of a German game. But yeah, that kind of blocky, simplistic models. So that, but with the added benefit of like 20 years of advancement, so you can also put like bloom over the top of that.
Yeah, there's no crazy high detail, intricate texturing on anything. It's all very block coloring, but with good shadowing and all kinds of stuff like that. It's very, very nice, but it's minimalistic kind of style.
They've committed to a style and benefit from it, because they don't have to go for hyper-realism, so they can focus on just making it really good-looking. So, yeah, basically it's like an open-world fighting game, I guess?
It is, yeah. The fighting, obviously, is the core part of the game, and it is both fun and I just couldn't get into it at the same time.
Yeah. I like the concept. Like, you're going around, you're fighting people, both NPCs and other players. So you're all sort of sharing this world. There's lots of cool layers to it. Like, there's different fighting styles. You can customize your sort of combos and everything, and kind of specialized in particular styles. There's basically a balanced, a movement one, a defensive one, and a strength one.
Yeah.
I can't remember the names, but they're not nearly as complicated as Masqueraders. And yeah, you sort of go around, you're fighting people, you're trying to earn your rep, so you can sort of, is it you enter a school or you develop your own school?
I don't actually know.
Yeah, I know that you can, sort of apprentice under other players.
That's kind of cool.
Sort of set up them up as your mentor to a higher level player, which means while you are their apprentice, you have access to their moveset, and can sort of experiment with these moves that you haven't actually earned yet. To find a better style and sort of know what you're working towards. And yeah, so it's cool. I had a couple of issues with it, but mm-hmm. I think you've spent more time with than me with the game. So do you want to maybe run us through it first?
Cool. So the fighting system is very in-depth. There's lots of different... there's the three different main styles, and then within the styles you have stances. So you have to... There's only two attack buttons.
There's the primary attack that runs through your combo for that stance in that style.
Yeah.
And then an alternate move, which sort of cycles between a move from each style as you work away.
And then, of course, there's a block as well. So you have each move, the buttons will do different moves based on the stance you're in. And doing a move in a certain stance will then exit you into a different stance. So you have to, you're constantly shifting between... one stance to another stance to another stance, and you've got to chain those together to be a very fluid fighter. It's very cool, very in depth, and it's also the reason why it's so hard to get into, because it's a massive fuck off learning curve.
Yeah, I did find this, like, the simplistic styling extends from the art style to the UI as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little sort of on screen at any given time. Even the menus are pretty simplistic. There's a lot of detail packed in there when you sort of get into the moves sets and stuff like that. But at the start, not a lot of information is given to you beyond the very basics of sort of the control scheme.
Yeah, it just says, here's the stances and here is how you move. And you can cycle between stances and you can block doing this and you can counter. But it doesn't give you a lot of time to really develop it and learn.
Yeah.
Between it, you get one kind of person to fight or a dummy to fight, and that's kind of about it.
You're very quickly thrown into sort of the live player scenario. I mean, yeah, pretty much one of the prompts as you go through the tutorial area is like, press this button to sort of enter the edit fighting mode, and you can press this button to practice, and that's about all you get.
And you get to edit a bunch of stuff that you don't really have an understanding of how it works yet, so you don't really know what to do with it. So I tried to put a move in, but I wouldn't put a move in. So I just put another move in until it allowed me to put it in there. I don't know.
I also found, maybe I just missed the option, but there wasn't a revert button. So after I'd sort of randomly dropped a move in, so the first move in my combo was like a really slow delay kind of strong hit. I was like, oh no, that's not going to work. That leaves me open. I just want to revert to the defaults. And I couldn't find out how to do that. So
yeah, I didn't look too much into it myself either.
Yeah, the other problem I found was, like, after being pretty quickly dropped into the PvP zone, which is the entire game, I found there was a bit of lag.
Yeah, so that's the other big problem with the game is it's a melee heavy game, so it's very... so many times I was punching the shit out of effectively a shadow image of a person.
Yeah.
I was punching through them and not making contact, and then they would just hit me a bunch. Even though they're still standing in front of me, they would hit me, but I couldn't hit them. Even though they weren't blocking, it was just, I was hitting clear through them, like my body was just clipping through them. And because the game is all about that, incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, I went into just like a randomly paired 1v1 sort of player versus player match. I don't know what sort of the player count is like for this game, but it seemed like our level, and obviously skill level, was very different because this dude wrecked me. Yeah. And also, I was having the stuttering issues where he was sort of skimming back and forth. Not as bad as in the main game, because it's obviously establishing a one-to-one link at that point. So you don't have to worry quite as much about stutter.
But when it's there, it's there.
Yeah, and for this kind of Twitch gameplay, it's really not something you want.
Nope.
I'm just having a look. Okay, so it looks like, yes, when the game launched midweek, the concurrent players hit about 19,000. At the moment, we're sitting at about 4,800 for today. So, I mean, not terrible.
No.
For what's not a AAA sort of top-tier hyper-advertised game. But yeah, you'd have people who have been playing dedicated that entire time.
Yeah.
And then sort of you and me, like...
What's going to do is, because the fighting system's so in-depth, is it's going to create a massive divide between the players that just want to kind of be able to run through and have a more Arkham like a Batman Arkham game fighting style. Where they want to just be able to string some combos together, have some fun fighting people, and then they're going to be up against people that are memorizing the stances, know exactly what move they're going from stance to stance, be able to predicting that, and they will just wreck people because they're more dedicated to it. And that's going to be a massive divide, and you're either going to be awesome at the game and very competitive, or you're not going to be anything, and that's going to be incredibly frustrating because there is so much to learn about it. People just aren't people are going to give up because they don't have the time or the patience to learn, put the hours in to become a competent fighter.
Yeah, and I mean, from talking about Injustice in the past, like, fighting games are not my go-to. The kind of learning all these complex movesets and stuff, I mean, comparatively, this isn't as bad as, like, a Mortal Kombat or an Injustice. But there's, like you said, a steep learning curve. So, yes, if it's your kind of game, you're going to love it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's pure fighting and nothing else. I think for us, we've suffered from the same thing that Australia always suffers from when it comes to online experiences, which is lag. I'm sure if you're in America, where I'm assuming the servers are based, you're fine. But for us, it's a bit of a handicap that I personally did not need.
No.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to give it a bit of a try. Like, I love the style. And let me just say, like, the animation of the characters is
it's amazing. The transition between moves and things like that, it flows amazingly.
Like, you'd worry about having that complex and sort of customizable a moveset that the transitions between moves would not nail it. But, like, every instance I've seen has just been beautiful. And part of that is the benefit of having these simplified character models that you don't have to worry about all these different moves, because you also have customizable equipment, so you're always changing what you look like. But, yeah, it always seems to work out. I really liked sort of looking at these people who have obviously been playing it longer than I have, running around in slightly fancier clothes, you know, like martial arts stuff with trailing bits, you know, like hanging... I don't even know what you call it. Like, you know, where it looks like a loincloth, but it's not.
There's lots of anime-style clothing in the game.
Yeah. I mean, I basically went, you know, shoes off, shirt off, running around, punching people who would just absolutely destroy me.
Yeah.
But I did feel really good at one point because I snuck up behind a guy and just started beating the shit out of him, and then the lag caught up and he vanished. So I don't think I won that fight.
There's a few other things that I felt were annoying as well in the game. I hate to, I guess, be a bit of a downer about it, but it...
Why start worrying about it now?
No, because I really want to like this game. Like, it really is a nice game. When you first start out, you fight one-on-one, and that is very, very fun, very, very cool. It doesn't seem to teach... I don't know if I missed something, but it doesn't seem to teach you how to fight multiple enemies. So multiple enemies just wreck you instantly.
I mean, it gives you the prompt for how to sort of move your targeting between enemies, but I think that's about it.
Yeah,
and obviously you've got like
you can't duck and dive quite enough to avoid the guy that's running up behind you, and you battles often bleed into another. So you'll be fighting someone, and that battle will bleed into another NPC will aggro and come in, and then you've got 2-on-1, and sometimes it happens with 3-on-1, and you just don't really get told how to fight like that. And the other thing that this often happens as well when you're in when you're panicking because all these people are coming, like mobs just keep coming at you, is you can fall off basically everything and die. Absolutely everything and die. So that's a bit annoying as well. They don't have a kind of buffer so you don't immediately launch off of things and die.
Yeah.
And the fall, you can jump off some stuff, but you take a fair amount of fall damage too.
Yeah. I did really enjoy, like, being it's kind of this multiplayer open world thing, seeing fights in progress and being able to just like run in and throw myself into the fray, especially good when they'd already done most of the beating on these random NPCs or each other, and I could be like, punch, 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 I won, good for me. But yeah, I put into an actual fair match, I did not do so great. No.
What they need is noob mode. I'll play the shit out of this game on noob mode, where it's simplified, I don't have to worry so much about the stances. It does it for me to an extent. That would make the game awesome for me. I'd play the shit out of it. But I don't think I have the patience to learn it all and to memorize and then have my hands just do the things between stances and do what I want them to do when I want them to do. So, yeah, I don't have the time for that, I don't think.
Yeah. Were you playing with controller or with keyboard mouse?
Controller.
Okay, I played with controller as well. I did try keyboard mouse because of having a bit of controller issue at one point. But it's not comfortable to play on a keyboard.
I initially did keyboard mouse, and then I saw the controls, like what you're supposed to do, and then went straight to my controller, turned it straight on, and played with it that way.
Much better, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that it is also out now on PS4, which seems like a natural fit. And I guess maybe with PSN being a more sort of established network, that might be better for stability as well. I have played multiplayer on PS4 in the past, and it's not as bad as my experiences have been on PC.
Yeah. It depends on the game and the servers they're using and how they're doing it. So, yeah.
But yeah, if you like beating the shit out of people and dressing in simple but very fancy clothes, I recommend it.
Yeah, but please,
if you're bad at finding games like me, don't do it unless you need to be humbled.
It's really good. It's really fun when it's kept simple, but unless you have the time and the patience to actually want to get good at the game, you're going to hit a wall pretty quick in the game.
Yeah. Now, the last game I want to talk about that I have been playing this week, I'm a little bit ashamed of. Just a little.
Really?
It is Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Look, this game looked fun. I watched some footage on it. It looked fun. It just looked like kids XCOM.
I wanted to hate it so much because I hate the Rabbids and everything they stand for. But the game itself, as built by Ubisoft, is, yes, it's a lot of fun. And it is basically XCOM, but with a Mario sheen, but not with a Mario difficulty lowering. I will say that much. This game will wreck your shit if you do not plan ahead. It is not worried about making children cry, thinking this is just another Mario game they can get through. I have been decimated by the enemies in a single round when I haven't planned far enough ahead. And it's glorious. I mean, it has all the elements of XCOM. You know, you've got sort of healing and support focused characters. You've got sort of heavy hitters.
Horrifying aliens. Oh, no, wait, they don't have that bit.
I mean, some of the rabbits are pretty gross. But it has stuff like buffs, debuffs, although they're all very kind of cutesy. There's a movement restricting one that's getting smushed by honey.
Can you cut off Luigi's arms and legs and turning him into a mech man?
No.
Because you can do that in XCOM, and that's pretty fucked up when I realized what you were doing. It's like, do you want to turn this guy into like a crazy mech dude? It's like, yeah, that'd be great. I want a mech guy. It's like, oh, yeah, cool. So it does that, and you're like, oh, wait, next thing you see, he's got, from the elbows and knees down, he's got artificial legs. Like, I just cut that guy's arms and legs off to make him into a machine man. I feel bad, but now he's awesome, I guess.
He'll never have the true feeling of jerking it ever again.
I mean, he will, but it'll be with metal hands. Yeah, just be careful not to rip that dick off.
Yes, make sure your pressure sensitivity is calibrated. But getting back to Mario, it's got all the standard stuff. Like Overwatch is in there as well. Mario and Luigi have a skill where you can sort of shoot enemies whenever they try and move. And you can upgrade the shit out of that thing. I have reduced the cooldown to basically one turn for Mario. He also shoots twice in Overwatch per turn. So between that and like boosting the criticals for things like bounce, which sort of propels enemies and stuff, and then also having Luigi doing it, I can fuck some shit up.
Have you played much XCOM?
I've played a little bit.
A little bit, right.
And I did play that not very XCOM game, The Bureau.
That was not XCOM.
I enjoyed it. So I have sort of a glancing knowledge of the basics of these kind of games.
The Overwatch stuff can become very important in XCOM games. Yeah,
I was pissed when the enemy started being able to do it, I will tell you.
Yeah,
that
it's annoying when you forget about it and then they kill your character. And in XCOM, you can play permadeath mode as well. So you're like, oh no, the veteran of a million campaigns that's killed so many aliens, he's my favorite, he's dead.
Yeah, no permadeath in Mario plus Rabbids, thankfully. I've been having a lot of fun with it. Legitimately challenging, which I was concerned that being XCOM Junior, it would be like dialed way down. They do have an option at the start of every sort of combat encounter where you can turn on easy mode. Basically, not really though. Like, it heals you fully and then gives you 50% extra health, But even with that mode, like, I've tried it in a couple of the more challenging battles, you can still get fucked up pretty quick. I had Luigi taken out from full health to zero health in a single turn on easy mode, because the enemies were just juggling him, and man, it was brutal. But yeah, like, it's a lot of fun. There's lots of references in there. The whole kind of gimmick is that a girl in the real world has invented a matter combiner. So, like, in the intro, you see her sort of combine a plant and a light bulb to try and create an energy-generating plant. She leaves her room. The rabbits turn up in their time-traveling washing machine, which I think is a thing from the Raving Rabbits games.
I don't know. I've never really played them.
Yeah. And then one of the rabbits finds the matter combiner goggles, and everything gets wrecked. Their time machine inverts and starts sucking all of her Mario memorabilia in, and sort of ends up in the actual Mushroom Kingdom. So the world's just kind of wrecked. You've got, like, giant sort of question mark blocks and stuff from her room have teleported in, like her washing line, all this kind of random stuff. At one point, there was a giant bonsai bill with a pair of rabbit's underwear strapped over its face that looked very sad. Yeah, but it's all presented in that, like, really crisp, kind of simple Mario style. So yeah, they kind of nailed it, and I haven't been able to stop playing it, especially being able to go portable with the Switch. Like, I can just knock out a round on the bus or something, which is exactly what I want from the Switch, games that I can pick up and put down. So, against my better judgment, go get Rabbids. It's really good.
I don't have a Switch, so I can't.
I might buy the DLC.
I mean, a fun game is a fun game, no matter how much you hate the Rabbids.
It's true. And they've said that the DLC season pass thing, there'll be new weapons and stuff, but also extra story content, which I'm really hoping means they'll add extra characters. Because you basically, over the course of the game, you get Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Yoshi, and then Rabbid Mario, Rabbid Luigi, Rabbid Peach, Rabbid Yoshi. I would love to see, like, Wario and Rabbid Wario.
There's not enough Wario and Waluigi really in...
Waluigi.
Yeah, Waluigi, yeah. There's not enough of those two in the Mario stuff at the moment.
And I mean, Wario's already kind of a monstrosity. I want to see what a Rabbid Wario would end up as. because Rabbid Mario, they've kind of tried to make a sexy Mario.
Creepy. Is it supposed to be like a kind of a joke about sexy cosplay?
Maybe. He's got, you know, he's got the hat, he's got the kind of the plumber outfit. He's always got, like, a toothpick in his mouth and his, like, extra fluffy mustache. And so he's just always, like, cool, like, pulling his toothpick out and, like, pulling cool poses, like, flexing and stuff. It's weird. I mean, at the same time, Rabbid Peach is always on her phone. And, like, when she's running from position to position, she'll occasionally just trip over.
Yeah, the trip over bit made me laugh a lot when I saw it the first time.
Although my favorite is when you go behind half cover with her, instead of sort of crouching behind it, she just kind of leans back on it. He's just chilling, waiting to get shot. So, yeah, go for it.
Because I can't get it because I don't have a Switch, I'll just get XCOM instead. I'll just play XCOM.
That's probably a good thing. Weird that, like, Mario and Rabbids and the XCOM War of the Chosen came out on the same day. So, really, there's an XCOM for everyone.
There's
got to
be some sort of fan theory that they're both in the same universe in some way.
Oh, I can't wait for that crossover content. So that's what I've been playing this week. A lot. Especially with Rabbids. I can't stop. I'm ashamed. There's been some news this week. What should we talk about first, Cliff?
I know. I'll talk about something real quick that I found that we briefly talked about before the podcast started. It's a game where the idea of this game is so much you that it's not even funny. Let me just read you the... It's like off a Kotaku article. And let me read
I've already played Dream Daddy, so I don't know what game this could possibly be.
Let me just read you this title and tell me that this is not you. In this dress-up game, your clothes evolve like Pokemon.
Holy shit. We have to stop because I am erect.
Yeah, they might as well just call this Mac the Game.
the game for Mac.
Now, I have no idea what this game's actually about. This could be a terrible game. It could be some sort of creepy... anime game, because it looks like it. It's called Love Nikki.
Love Nikki.
Yep. I take no responsibility for what this game actually contains.
Love Nikki Dress Up Queen?
Sure.
I'm trying to find this game. Alright, I'm seeing a lot of Animu bullshit. But I'm not seeing the Kotaku ad. Or Kotaku article, I should say. In this... Okay, here we go. I'm gonna have to look at this very closely. Alright, there's an Evil Queen. There's a dress. There's some sexy clothes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna have to check this out. it's a mobile game, though.
Like I said, I take no responsibility for what it actually contains, but the idea of it is way up your alleyway.
Yeah, evolving clothes, I am very into that. So...
Do you love you some dress-ups in games?
I love dressing up in games. It was the best part of Absolver, like being able to dress up my fancy fight man.
About what the game's actually about, not about the fighting bit.
No, any game where I have equipment that shows up on my character automatically gets a boost in points.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I like being able to customize my loadout. I like feeling more connected to my game.
Mm-hmm.
I like substituting stats for good-looking clothes.
Sure. But yeah, if you like the idea of dress-ups that evolve, and I'm assuming game powers, check out this game that I in no way endorse at all.
I am... terrified. I will get back to you on how good
play
it is.
Play at your own risk.
I will. Okay, cool. Well, that's next week's episode sorted out. In the meantime, there has been some gaming news.
Hit me with the gaming news.
Some of it is bad. The first one that kind of made me excited is that there will be a new episodic VR game coming to all of the VRs based on the Netflix Voltron series.
Yay!
Which I know you still haven't watched because you're a bad person.
Watch the first season.
Then keep watching it. But basically, something happens that breaks the paladin's connection to their lions. So you sort of take on the roles of them exploring and doing VR stuff, and you get to drive the lions at one point. So the first episode, you get to drive the blue lion, whose rider, Lance, is voiced by Finn from Adventure Time. And then the later episodes, you'll get to do other stuff as well. So it seems like it was about $20, I think. So I reckon I'll pick it up because, like, I like that series. I like VR. I like having things to turn my VR headset on for. So, yeah, I think that could be fun. Also, kind of a cool tie-in that sort of DreamWorks and Netflix are working together to make this happen. There was also Destiny is a game that came out in beta for PC. But we've covered that one off.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Rising 4 is apparently coming to PS4 now.
Cool.
Which is a bit of a surprise. Dead Rising 1 and 2 came to the console last year, along with Off the Record, which was like the remake of Dead Rising 2, playing as Frank West from the original game, instead of Chuck, I think his name was, from the second game. It's kind of 1, 2, and 4 have come to PS4 now. 3 never did because it's kind of kept as an Xbox PC exclusive.
It was soon after launch title, I think.
Yeah, it was I'm pretty sure it was a launch title for the Xbox One. I do have it.
Actually, I own that one. Yeah, it had extra modes in it where you could play the kind of like the ridiculous fun modes. Like there was the super happy ultra mega, you know, the parody of Japanese TV
adjective,
stuff.
Yeah.
That mode that was very very fun. There's a mini golf mode as well. I don't know if it's Dead Rising 3 or the remake of Dead Rising 1, but that is that's pretty fun from what I've seen. So yeah, there's some fun stuff involved with it.
Yeah, Dead Rising, like, it's another one of those games like I love in concept, but the moment I get in there and there's a time limit, I just get fucked up. Like I can't enjoy a game when I know that I have a finite amount of time to do stuff. I always feel like I have to rush, which means I'm not exploring the game, I'm not enjoying it. It just goes against everything because I'm there to like click on every single thing in a room before I move on. That's how I play games.
It's fine when you have timed sequences in a game where it's designed for balls out like craziness in a time period, usually some sort of chase or something like that. But yeah,
escaping the Marco reactor.
Exactly. Or doing the trial to get your first GF if you're in Final Fantasy VIII. But it it's not great as a, you have this time as a whole, unless there's some sort of mechanic where you're repeating or allowed to repeat.
Yeah.
Then that makes it a bit different. Things like, what's the second great Zelda game on 64? Majora's Mask, where you have the time thing. That's interesting because you get to replay it over and over again.
The Sexy Brutale that we sort of covered earlier in the podcast
episode. Oh, yeah, where you have the day,
the same thing,
the Groundhog Day thing.
Yeah, you could sort of recycle through the same sort of day over and over again. When it's sort of, you need to get to everything by this time or it's game over, then I'm just like, nah, bro, not happening. Cannot do, will not do. Mm. Yet I still own it for Xbox One. I think it came with the console, though, so I don't really feel bad about it. There was a deluxe edition announced for Sonic Forces, the bad Sonic game. I was curious to see what they would actually put in a special edition for that. And it's kind of a good news, bad news situation. The good news is they've taken advantage of some corporate connections, I guess. And for your customizable character, there'll be sort of costume elements from other games, like a Jet Set Radio outfit, fantastic. Puyo Puyo Pop hat, Super Monkey Ball outfit, a Nights into Dreams outfit, and weirdly, Persona 5.
That's,
you can dress up as the main character.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is basically like a mask and a fancy trench coat.
I get that you can basically be anything that ever came out on a Dreamcast, but yeah, Persona, that's a weird pull.
It's a weird pull, because I don't think Atlus are involved with this game at all, but it's there. Those are kind of cool, customizey things that I never end up using in games. But the other thing is with the Switch, you've got the Pro Controller, where it's sort of, you pull out the two sort of side controllers, slide them onto this framework to use it like a normal controller. They have a skin that you can stick over the top of that that is Sonic Forces themed. So basically a three-piece sticker, one for each sort of side controller, and then a connecting middle piece.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's ugly. In concept, it's a cool thing, because it's not like you can make a custom controller for the Switch. So you can kind of adhere this thing on. But the moment you take your two Joy-Cons off and put them back on the Switch, you've got two-thirds of a sticker. And like one side has Sonic, the other side has the villain. I think his name's like Infinite or Infinity or something. But yeah, it's, and then you've just got your Pro Controller with an ugly sticker down the middle of it that's basically just fiery clouds. It's not great. I don't think I'll get it. I might get it. The costumes are pretty cool.
Ah, there you go.
So Sonic Forces continues to be a bit of a letdown from all the preview coverage I'm hearing. But we already got Sonic Mania, so who cares? There was a bit of news out of EB Games this week.
We should quickfire a little bit on the news here.
Yes.
Because we should also talk a bit about Game of Thrones before we sign off, which is getting close. So.
Yes. So EB Games announced a service called Swap and Play that is being soft tested in SA at the moment.
I heard about this. It seems cool.
Yeah. Which is weird. It's a similar model to Gamefly in America, or I guess early Netflix, where basically you borrow a disc and you can play that game for as long or as short as you want. Then you return it back to the store and you can borrow another game, pulling from the pre-owned library. So basically any pre-owned game in the store you can pull, from what I understand of this service. So it's $20 a month, but you can sort of interchange games as often as you like. It's an interesting model.
It's kind of cool. I like the idea of it.
Yeah, also, I mean, EB Games have traditionally have a problem with being able to turn over their pre-owned games because they take all these pre-owns back, which is why literally every store in the country has 300 copies of FIFA 17 that no one will buy.
That they charge a ridiculous amount for, and that's why no one will buy them. I'll pick it up if it's $20, but I'm not going to pay $80 for a pre-owned FIFA game. Fuck that.
No, and at the same time, when you trade in that game, you're maybe getting $5 for
it. It's absolutely raw.
This seems like they're trying to find a way to at least temporarily get some of these games out of the store. Assumably, if you hold on to a game and don't return it, they'll eventually charge you a fee or something to kind of fill out the purchase.
I assume so.
So apparently, they're sort of launching it in SA only to begin with, to see how it goes before they go to a national launch. Yeah, it's an interesting model. Mm. I mean, for games where I'm not sure I want to commit to them, it's a good way to test drive it. I don't know if personally I'd have enough turnover on games that I don't already know I'm going to buy to actually make it a long-term investment.
This is
going to
be great for kids, basically.
Oh, yeah. For kids, like families with young people who don't want to be buying new games.
Remember back in the day when we would rent games? There's none of that anymore, for this. So this is great.
I definitely never rented a game from the Blockbuster near my grandma's house and never returned it and kept it forever.
They'll come after Fantasy you. 8. Blockbuster's gone, but they'll come in for you.
Yeah. There's still Blockbusters, I think. There's like four of them.
Someone should tell them that they're dead.
Yeah, someone should remind them.
Mm.
Because EB is coming for them. So that could go one of two ways. I think it's only just launching. So I'm interested to see how successful it is.
I think it's great.
Gamefly is still a thing in America who do basically the exact same thing. Maybe it'll work. There's definitely a market for it. But how much of a take-up will they get?
I mean, I won't do it, but I think it's great.
No, I probably won't do it. I just buy everything, so I'm clear. In terms of games that I'm definitely going to buy, and you'll probably buy, the one I wasn't going to tell you about before the podcast is...
Apparently I'm going to be all about this game.
I think you might be. So Chucklefish, the guys behind Stardew Valley, have teased what their next game is going to be.
Is it multiplayer for Stardew Valley?
No, but that's in the works. And also the Switch version is under certification at the moment, which I'm excited about because I'll probably buy that. No, their next game, they've sort of said they've learned a lot of lessons from working on Stardew. So it's going to be an RPG / sim set in a magic school, something like Stardew Valley meets Harry Potter.
Okay, I'm just going to fucking buy this instantly.
Yeah, I will send you the screenshot. I mean, it's kind of similar in style, but maybe a bit more detailed than Stardew.
Is it made by the dude that made Stardew, or is it just Chucklefish, the publisher, doing it?
I don't know. Because
Chucklefish also did...
Starbound,
yeah.
Yeah. So they're working on this and an Advance Wars-inspired game as well, which I'm pretty into. This is a very pretty game. Very pretty pixel art. I'm all about.
If I get to become a wizard, I'm in that game. I'll just buy it.
I am pro wizard myself, so yes, let's let this happen. Mm. Literally, no other details beyond this single screenshot have been released so far, but I'm all about it.
Yeah, they'll get my money.
Yeah. The last thing I wanted to cover off quickly was that Nintendo did a new presentation over the week, a Nindies, so Nintendo Indies for the Switch. There's a lot of good games coming for the Nintendo Indies lineup.
How many of them have already been out on other things?
Oh, a good number. Mm. But there's definitely some new announcements in there. So stuff that's carrying over, Kentucky Route Zero is coming to the Switch, along with the final episode, because that game's been in production for like 300 years. So it'll be launching along with all five acts at the start of next year. What else have we got that's carrying over? A lot of games that I didn't care about. Oh, Polybridge is coming to the Switch, which is kind of a cool little construction-y game where you've got to build bridges for cars to get across, supporting the weight and all this kind of physics stuff. SteamWorld Dig 2 is going to be launching on the Switch. I very much like SteamWorld Dig 1. The SteamWorld games are very good. A new No More Heroes game is coming out, which is one of the most ill-fit games for the Wii that ever existed because it was just way more adult than everything else. Mm-hmm. So that'll be launching next year as well. A new Shovel Knight expansion. This one actually caught me by surprise. They had a trailer for Super Meat Boy, so I figured, oh, Super Meat Boy is coming to Switch, sure. But it's a sequel. They're actually making a new Super Meat Boy game. Super Meat Boy Forever, which is about Meat Boy and Bandage Girl and their kid, Nugget. And Nugget gets kidnapped by Dr. Fetus or Professor Fetus or District Attorney Fetus. Yeah. I don't remember. And it seems like there'll be kind of minor combat in there. You've got like a kick and punch move so you can knock enemies back and stuff like this.
Okay, so they're going to expand the formula a little bit.
And each time you replay a single level, it'll get harder. So once you've beat a level, you can go back and play it again at higher difficulty, basically.
I was going
to
say,
to continue challenging.
Yeah, I was going to say, because...
Not per death.
Yeah, I was going to say, not per death. There's already an infuriating game before that happens. Just, No, okay, that's cool.
Yes, so that's coming. A game that got announced early on, Golf Story, which is a golf RPG. I am all about that, so I will be looking forward to picking that up. This month. That's coming out this month. Sweet. So I'm going to get my golf RPG on. And I don't mean like golf with a career mode. I mean, it's an RPG where you fight and explore using golf.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That sounds like a thing.
There's a game. It's all about like breakdancing. It's all this very kind of rough art style. It's called Floor Kids. So it's all these breakdancing kids competing. Looks very cool. It has music by, what's his name? DJ Koala, I think, who is a good music man. Kid Koala, sorry.
I totally know who that is.
Me too. A couple of other games I didn't care about. There's some sort of game where you play as an elephant. Mum Hid My Game, which is the weirdest little sort of hidden object game from the iOS market. It's this very poorly translated Japanese game where your mum has hidden your DS and you've got to find it by, like, you know, looking in the cupboard. But you have to be careful not to find mum, because if you see her, she'll tell you off for looking for your game and it's a game over. So now that's coming to the Switch, which, all right, cool.
Sure.
Yeah, that seems weird. And yeah, that's kind of the main stuff. I'm excited about a couple of those, especially SteamWorld Dig and new No More Heroes. But at least SteamWorld Dig is coming within the next month, so I can play it straight away. And Golf Story. I can't wait to golf. But yeah, so that's sort of coming. There's also hints that there might be a sequel to Catherine coming out from the same folks who brought us Persona 5. I really need to get around to playing Catherine 1 because everyone says it's good. But yeah, that's about all I got.
Sweet. So I think we should now that the season's finished, we should probably talk a bit about Game of Thrones because we've neglected it. Yeah. And I guess because we're at the end, we're not partway through an episode, let's just say we're going to be talking about spoilers now. So we're going to spoil shit. If you have a problem with that, stop listening now. And you're not going to miss anything except us talking about Game of Thrones. Is that pretty fair? You think that's fair? I'm just taking that as a yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
All right, let's talk about Game of Thrones.
So spoilers, if turn off now. This is your last warning right now.
Yep.
There will be spoilers now. All right, how good was this season?
I quite enjoyed it, in spite of the fact that they invented fast travel this year.
Oh yeah, it was so, like, the plot was loose. The shit was happening at about 50 times speed. But you ignore those, and the whole season was basically fan service. And
yes,
those.
It's really nice that HBO is producing Game of Thrones fanfic.
Yeah. But who cares? Because it was just so good.
Yep.
So much shit happened that you just were either laughing or crying tears of joy because nothing bad happened this entire season.
Well, yeah, no, it was
name
good.
A bad
it was
thing that
of,
happened.
The wall fell down.
No, the good guys won everything in this, with the exception of one dragon.
Poor Viserion, but he was named after the worst Targaryen, so
it's true. He was a massive little bitch.
Also, side note, Rhaegar Targaryen. I spent almost that entire scene convinced that he was played by the same actor as Viserion.
It looked like it, yeah.
I know they're brothers within the Targaryen family, but I thought they'd just gotten the same actor back. So for a second, I was like, why are we flashing back to Viserion? And
it did, when it did look cool? Very much like that.
Yeah, it's probably the same wig, let's be honest.
Probably.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. Like, all the meetups between characters.
Oh, man.
Sort of the payoff for things like, oh, yeah, you finally saw each other after missing each other for six fucking years.
And then in the finale, that happens, about 10 of those type encounters.
Yes.
In the space of 5 minutes, and it's just all massive nerd boner the entire time.
Yeah. Also, some really sweet moments, like Tyrion and Bronn of the Blackwater getting back together.
I know I'm going to say this a lot, but about every character, but Bronn is such a good character. He's such a good character.
His motivations have never changed the entire
series.
He's
super consistent. He just wants a castle.
Yep.
Hey, look, there's a castle. Can I have that one?
Hey, I need some more money so I can get my castle.
Yeah.
You know what upkeep for castles takes? Money. Can I have some of that?
Mm.
So yeah, kind of them poking fun at each other for a while, and then just before the cut to the next shot, just saying like, I missed you, I'm glad you're okay. Yeah, you too.
Yeah. In like a classic sort of like split second of bromance right there.
Yeah.
They're happy that the other's not dead.
Yeah. I thought it was like lots of little sweet moments like that, and sort of pay off of things like the Hound and Brienne meeting up again. Mm,
Brienne and Jaime meeting up again.
The Hound and the Mountain, although I didn't find that one particularly effective as far as all of these kind of returns went.
It was a moment of, holy shit, this is happening, but and you're not going to get what happened. You really want just yet.
Yeah.
It was some flat out, like, we're going to deal with this at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of big battles, lots of big sort of showdowns. We no longer have to deal with Littlefinger.
Oh man, was that good or what? It would have been better if they had the extra scenes in there that apparently explained why Sansa did a massive 180. But you know, cool.
Yeah, and as a friend of ours pointed out at D&D last night, apparently in the sort of sound design for every scene after the kind of blow up between Sansa and Arya, you can hear crows in the background whenever Littlefinger is around, which is meant to imply that Bran is spying on him to keep an eye on things, kind of update the sisters.
Yeah, keep the family together. Yeah.
They cut the scene that kind of more explicitly explained that, or ever explained that. Mm. So, yeah.
I mean, we got an entire season of, as soon as Jon and Dany met, that basically after a couple of key moments together, they were, like, she was giving him the fuck me eyes nonstop for like 5 episodes.
Oh yeah, and his sort of sad puppy look was like sad horny puppy.
I mean, he's got that look down pat, doesn't he? He doesn't doesn't really want this thing that's been thrust at him. Like, he doesn't want to be a king, but he knows he has to be a king.
But he does want to thrust his thing at her.
Well, yeah. And there's so many times, so many memes about bending the knee. And have you noticed that, did you see the meme that came out after the finale? Where it shows them together, and it shows him, because initially she's on top, and then he rolls over. But when he's on the bottom, he's got his knee up and bent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's him bending. So that was kind of funny. But I mean, it was such a, like, you forget that this is that nephew and auntie going at it here, because you just want the characters to get together so hard.
But hey, as nephews go, it's got a pretty good butt. So thanks, HBO. Like, conveniently, nothing sort of particularly risque got shown in that shot at all.
It was very strategically not. It was all this close to seeing Wang or nipple, but you just never do.
I just wanted to see the Sword of the North. Like, is that so much to ask? Did we even get any naked? We got some naked Daenerys this year, didn't we?
Not really. We got part naked, close to. You get that hint of nakedness from her all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. So they kind of toned it down on that in general as well. Mm. Yeah, no time for like scenes at a whorehouse this year.
Nope. Massive amounts of fast travel and leaps of plot. But it didn't matter because they were running out of time and they knew it. So they had to speed everything up to get everything going. And we're only going to get 6 episodes. They're going to be long episodes reportedly. But we're only going to get 6 more to wrap up some pretty massive shit.
And potentially not going to get it for like a year and a half.
Potentially, yeah. They're doing a Westworld on us, those motherfuckers.
Well, it's okay, because there are literally every TV show coming back in the next month.
Also, The Good Place comes back in like 2 weeks. 3 weeks. I'm all about that.
And it's
that.
On Netflix now.
Yes.
So I'm sad that it's going to take so long to see Game of Thrones again, but I'm glad that literally every other show I care about is coming back in like the next 4 weeks. Yep.
Also, Cersei is totally not pregnant.
She's definitely not.
Nope, she's playing everyone with it.
Whatever a hysterical pregnancy is, if instead of being hysterical, you're just like a homicidal bitch.
Yep. Also, I bet that Dany and Jon will have a breakup moment when she finds out that he's the actual heir to the throne and not her, until the obvious answer will just bone each other on the Iron Throne together. And
it's fine.
Yeah, but we'll put like a rug down first because we don't want to cut ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And they're totally, like, hot bodies. Don't ruin it. John Scott has got enough scars as it is, so.
Yeah, don't ruin any other part of that whole situation for either of them.
Exactly.
Although, as my last comment, I did enjoy the scene where she very dramatically revealed that she can never have children because a witch told her so. And he's just like, and you believed her?
have you ever considered that she's not a very reliable source of information?
Yeah.
Like, just such a great like, comment. Bit of sass from
Yeah, literally, he's just like, maybe she lied.
It's a great comment from a character that's not known for sassy, witty comments.
Yeah.
A man who knows nothing and comes up with that line.
Other than being a zombie, has not a lot of experience in magic and curses and stuff. He's just like, yeah, maybe she was fucking with you.
Yeah. And then speaking of sass, we had Davos sass it up so much this season. He's great.
Mm.
I love me some Davos. Especially
he can't snap his fingers, so he has to do it with his words.
Exactly. And he might not be educated like all those fancy lords, but boy, is his brain as sharp as a tack.
Mm-hmm.
Horny crab meat
in Star Citizen in the meantime.
It was basically like the good guys win everything in this season. Everyone comes together, meets up. It was just great.
I'm sure their good luck won't continue into the final season. But it was nice to have a couple
until
wins.
A certain point when it will turn around and go from there. Surely that John or Danny will end up on the Iron Throne. Surely at least one of them will.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if one of them dies, actually. Getting close to the end.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Game of Thrones version of a happy ending is.
Mm.
Exactly how much resolution, even if it's not directly written by George R.R. Martin, how much happy ending he allows for his property.
I did win a bet this season.
Oh, yeah.
That Jaime would turn on Cersei.
Had to happen sooner or later.
Yep. So I firmly believe that Jaime will put Cersei down. Like he put down the Mad King.
Mm, that would be good.
Yep. He might necessarily be happy about it because he wasn't happy that he killed the Mad King. For all the shit that he cops, once they spend more time with Jaime, you realize that, you know, he's not happy about it, but
yeah.
He saved a city.
It sure did. So, that was also kind of necessary. Mm. Such Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. such a wait
mm-hmm.
to find out how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the next book will come out in the meantime.
Yeah, sure thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't hold your breath on that one. But see, it, as good as the TV show is, the books are gospel. So the changes, the differences and stuff that happens in the books, that is clear. Because in the books, there's a third Targaryen.
Was there?
There's a third. And at the end of the fifth book, he's back in Westeros starting the campaign.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I think I was just edging into that book. Well, with all of those Game of Thrones spoils out of the way, thank you, as always, for tuning in for your weekly dose of The Indoorsman. We continue to be your podcast guide to the great indoors, happily and obligingly.
If you like our opening and closing music, it's Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. You can primarily find his stuff on Bandcamp, but there's also a bunch of other places, you know, the usual places to find things from artists all around the internet, so you can just Google that and find it. But yes, definitely get some of his stuff. It is very cool chiptune-y stuff.
You can find us online at indoorsmanpodcast.com or on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram as @indoorsmanpod. We are the same across all platforms now. That is called Synergy. So check out the episodes on Facebook and talk to us on Twitter or check out the cover art on Instagram.
If you want to get us on Twitter, you can get me @CliffandMonkey or Matt @Ponk. And if you want to get to us by email, you can get us at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
That's correct. We'd also love it if you could subscribe, review, and or rate the show on iTunes or your podcast medium of choice, because that's nice of you. Please be nice to us.
But for now, he's been Matt.
And he's been Cliff. And as always, we will sign off by saying, well, we've talked about rabbits this week, so I've admitted I have no shame in this, so wah! Whatever the fuck it is they say. God, I hate them, but the game's so good.